And we are rolling. Hi, everyone. This
Hi.
is Mark Goldberg with UN Dispatch and the Global Dispatches podcast. And I'm speaking with.
Hi, it's Hugo here from Brazil.
And a great time to speak with Hugo in Brazil. Hugo, I guess maybe by way of introduction, do you want to explain a little bit of your background? We should have recorded the conversation we had a second ago. But that being said, do you want to just explain, your background, then we can get into the meat of the discussion.
Sure. So that's me. I'm 29 years old. I'm a Brazilian, and I have studied international politics for the past years. That's a subject that interests me very much, and I'm also an enthusiast of UN Dispatch. I've also been very involved in Brazil here for the past year, especially in the internal politics of the country and recent events with the World Cup going on and all this. There's a lot going on here in Brazil, so I hope I can talk about it and share my views. Let's see.
Let's do it. So, as the, I should say, in like the few weeks leading up to the World Cup, the conventional wisdom seemed to be that, there were all these protests, and it seemed that there was sort of a general malaise around the in Brazil surrounding the World Cup because of various issues. Does that sort of conventional wisdom hold up to you now that we're a few weeks into the World Cup?
Yes, there's a base for all that. There's a lot going on in Brazil, and in terms of people demanding better public services and infrastructure and so much. But at the same time, I think there was a lot of hard work from the media. And it started from the media and from the Brazilian media, but it also spread out to the international media that it was going to be chaos when the World Cup started. There's a popular saying here that when you find something that doesn't work very well in Brazil, everybody says, "Oh, can you imagine in the World Cup how it's going to be?" You know, because all of the tourists that's going to be here, so it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Nothing's going to work. It's not going to be well organized, and it's kind of a shock now that everything is working fine, and not only in the sports from the view of a sports event, but also in terms of organization, everything's working very well. Everybody's happy. So, what was going on? Why was that happening? That's the discussion that we're having here right now. Why was expectation so low, and now everything's working fine?
So what are your theories on why those expectations were so low?
Well, this year is an election year, okay? In September, October, we're gonna have elections for president. They happen here in Brazil every 4 years. And for the past three governments, so for a period of 12 years, we've had a center-left government in power. And many of the traditional groups of power in Brazil that have remained since Brazil became a democracy after spending 20 years as a dictatorship in the 60s and 70s. These groups are still not comfortable with the party that's in power for the last three governments. And the media is very linked to these groups. They are shareholders of the same companies. There are many of our senators and politicians who are actually owners of media groups, which control the monopoly of media in several regions of the country. So, the main four groups of media that I'd say here in Brazil have the monopoly of the printed and television media. They are strong enemies, I could say, of the current government. So it was profitable for them to try to work hard on linking the failure of the World Cup organization to the failure of the government itself, and thus somehow like this hit the president.
Well, now, like looking back at things, have gone pretty well so far. I guess you can say that they miscalculated, right? By lowering expectations so much
Exactly.
now that Dilma Rousseff is looking pretty good right now, I would imagine.
Yeah, in my personal view, I don't think the success or the failure of Brazil's team in the field may have such a big impact on whether the government's going to be able to reelect itself or not. But at the same time, this strategy has kind of backfired because at least the World Cup has been well organized, and there haven't been any serious incidents or anything so far. So yes, just today I saw a survey that came out saying that Dilma Rousseff, the president, has gone up 4 points, 4 percentage points in the polls, and that's following the rate, the amount of people who are actually supporting the World Cup as the World Cup is going on, and everybody sees that it's fine and it's right, and everybody's partying at the streets.
Well, that's
I
funny.
think
So
the
there is
strategy
an
has.
actual correlation in polling data between people having fun at the World Cup and enjoying the World Cup and Dilma Rousseff's popularity.
Yeah, at least I maybe not concerning football itself. Even though there's a lot of people who are actually supporting the teams that play against Brazil because they directly link Brazil's success in the field to Dilma Rousseff's being reelected. Yeah, that's kind of funny. I think that's people are smarter than that, you know. And but at the same time, in terms of organization of the World Cup, everything is working fine. So there, yes, I think you may have a correlation.
So Dilma Rousseff, she's entering her first re-election, right? Or is this
Yes.
going to, yeah. So what have been some of her signature policies, and how has she, what has been her stamp so far on Brazilian politics and society?
Well, Dilma represents a continuity over the past two governments of Lula from her party, right? So there hasn't been any real big changes, except in terms of international politics. We could say that a lot of people are not satisfied because Brazil used to have such a high profile during the Lula term in the presidency, and now Dilma Rousseff, corridor talk says she doesn't care that much about international politics. So Brazil is kind of losing its high profile that it acquired with Lula. But apart from that, she's continuing what Lula started 12 years ago. Brazil is doing very well, even though a lot of people and banks are complaining that we are facing a kind of a crisis. It's not real. It's not actually a crisis. We have very low inflation for the past 10 years. The average inflation is on about 6%, and that's half what we had a decade before. There has been over the past 10 years an increase about 80% in the minimum wage, a real increase of about 80% in the minimum wage. Social programs, income transfer, all of that continues with Dilma, moving on step by step to another level, and this has allowed for a new middle class to rise, form a healthy internal market, and also start demanding to become full-fledged citizens via not only via consumption but by via access to quality public services, and that's where you get the protests.
So
It's
what are so that's interesting. So what are the public services that are sort of lacking? Like you're saying that there is this new and emerging middle class that demands things that middle classes around the world demand. I take it probably like better health care, transportation. What I guess what are the specific criticisms and issues that that broadly speaking middle class Brazilians are lacking.
Well, there's many important categories of professionals that are very, very underpaid. Education is the best example of it. Professors are very underpaid. It's not a good place to be in. If you want to be a professor, you really have to do it because you love it, because you basically get the minimum wage for the country or a little bit more than that if you're a professor in the public sector. And that's very, very, very low. So education and healthcare are the biggest demands, but there's also public transportation, investments in infrastructure. There's a lot to be done, and a lot more could be done. I'm not a complete supporter of the current government, but at the same time, there's a lot being done. And the problem is the complaints and the protests are kind of paradoxical. We've never been so well off, but at the same time, we now realize that there's so much more to build. and to do. And there are also complaints that this government, there are complaints from the right and the left. The right wing wants things to go back to as they were a little bit before. They demand that the government raise interest rates so that we could curb inflation, but inflation is not really, really high. And that would raise unemployment. Raised unemployment would put pressure on wages, and wages going down, that would allow for companies to increase their profits. So that's why the right wings and the media that supports the right, the media is mostly conservative in Brazil, they are fueling, I'd say, the protests and the complaints. At the same time, there's also a complaint from the left, where the government has, the Workers' Party has disappointed in a certain way the left of the country, because the government has played the game of old politics, and they have never stepped in the toes of the old groups. Even though we have a rising middle class and we have a decreasing inequality in the country, at the same time, billionaires are becoming richer and richer and richer, and the companies are increasing their profits. Just last year, Brazilian banks posted their record profit of $30 billion combined, and they're always talking about a crisis. So there's a paradox all around. There's a lot to be done, but at the same time, we are doing a lot. So what should be the next step? Should we go forward, try to change what's there, change the government? But when we change, what's coming next? Are we going back to a certain time where things weren't as good as they are before? Or can we move faster towards progress?
So I was only in Brazil once a couple of years ago for the big Rio Plus 20 conference, which is like a big UN environment conference for those out there who are not down with the UN lingo. You know, and one thing that struck me, and I think it's one thing that, you know, is at least in the international representation of Brazil in the media is something that's hammered on, is sort of inequality, right? Is the favelas on one side and then the fancy Leblon and Copacabana, you know, on the other side. I guess, is this problem of inequality as real as the international media make it out to be? Or is there, more nuance in there? And if so, sort of what steps are being taken to address this key issue?
Well, I'd say inequality is still our biggest problem. I think many of our other problems, they stem from inequality itself. Brazil is still one of the most unequal countries in Latin America, which is already considered to be the region in the world where inequality is the highest. What's the government been doing about this? So, First of all, that's what the government's been most known for, is the social programs and the social policies that the most known of it is Bolsa Família, which is an endowment for the families, for low income families. So it's basically a transfer of income. It's an income transfer program that actually demands that families put their kids in schools and mothers attend prenatal care. And so the government has done a very good job of mapping poverty towards the country and then finding these people, reaching these people, and putting them in a comprehensive set of social programs where they get money for participating in the society and actually making use of what the government is offering in terms of public service. So that's a program that's been replicated throughout the world and has received many awards, including from the UN itself. That's one of the things. In terms of education, Brazil is starting to promote to promote exchanges with other countries. So just this week, Brazil announced another 100,000 scholarships at international universities for Brazilian students. And that those are especially for Brazilian students who are either studying at a public university, a public free university, or students at private universities, but which are actually studying via scholarships that the government is also providing here. So I think we are on the right track in terms of reducing inequality. If you compare Brazil to other countries in Latin America that follow a more liberal set of rules, such as Chile and Mexico, you can see that Brazil has reduced more than 10 times the inequality compared to these other countries in the same region of the world.
So Brazil is always, you know, lumped together with the other BRICS, you know, as sort of countries on the verge of becoming international economic powerhouses, mm-hmm. and becoming, you know, going from, you know, somewhat a developing country, but with one foot in the developed world, to being fully entrenched as a developed country. When will that transition, do you think, be firmly over? Like, when will Brazil have made that transition from emerging country to emerged?
That's very hard to say in the times we're living right now, especially when we look at some of the developed countries. For example, some of the European countries that are undergoing so much hardship, so much economic hardship, that can we say maybe 5 or 10 years from now that they're still considered developed countries in terms of social indexes?
Well, probably.
We cannot know.
Well, I mean, probably. I'm sure like Ireland, you know, despite its, you know, fiscal problems, will still have high standards of living 5 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to say, especially because the BRICS countries, they are a set of countries that are completely different between themselves. There's a lot in common. There are growing economies that have a certain increasing impact on the world economics, but at the same time they're so different from one another. I think the main thing that's lacking for Brazil to be able to say now we are a developed country is to progress in terms of human rights and other kinds of more abstract subjective development.
What on the human rights question is do you think Brazil is lacking? So at least in like the international, like at the UN, they're like very progressive on human rights issues, on LGBT issues, and on women's rights. Like Brazil is always like pushing the envelope more than most countries, at least like in the UN system. But like what inside the country are human rights concerns?
I think Brazil has a very positive stance at the UN concerning human rights. But if you look inside the country in practice, it doesn't always happen like this. For example, in the state of São Paulo, where I live, the police is one of the police forces that kills the most in the world, and the amount of deaths by the police compares to the deaths in countries which are actually undergoing full-scale war, such as some countries in the Middle East. The poverty is still very criminalized in Brazil, and that has a lot to do with the war on drugs, actually. So that's one issue that we haven't been able to tackle really well, even though in Rio de Janeiro last year there was a lot of talk about how the favelas were now getting police stations that were bringing back the state to places where the state wouldn't reach. That's something that we used to say that's for tourists to see. Because in practice, there's a lot of problems in this area. For example, during the protests that have been happening since 2013 here in Brazil, every day you have reports of continued arrests of people, and these arrests are usually filmed by other people on the streets, and the police arrests protesters for absolutely no reason. Today we were having a protest here in São Paulo of activists that were demanding for the release of another activist that was arrested for no reason. And during this protest, the police came and surrounded the 500 protesters that were peacefully discussing in a square and started arresting other people. They were filming them and confiscating items that were in their backpacks and searching everyone's belongings, taking people arrested and even spanking people on the streets. There are so many deaths in favelas and poor places that are never investigated. They never have a solution. Whereas if during a protest, the windows of a store on the streets, they get broken by the protesters, that starts a huge investigation in order to try to find out who was responsible for that. So human life is actually not valued here compared to private property, and that's a big issue. I think Brazil deals too well with violence, and especially state violence, and that's a huge problem that we have to tackle.
Switching gears just a little bit to politics, who are or is Dilma Rousseff's main challenger or challengers?
Okay, she has her main challenger is Aécio. He is the son of one of the one very famous politician that was vital to the process of redemocratization here in Brazil. He represents the Social Democratic Party, which nowadays doesn't have that much of social democratic anymore.
Is that a challenge from the left?
From the right.
That's a challenge from the right. Okay. And her party is like the Workers' Party, is that right?
Yes, okay. Her party is the Workers' Party, which I wouldn't call her party a leftist party. But her party is a center party. They still implement the same liberal policies that we have always implemented since the 90s, but with the social policies on the side. The Workers' Party does not represent the old groups of power in Brazil, but they also don't step on the toes of these same groups. So the politics have always been, since redemocratization, have always been polarized between the Workers' Party and this Social Democratic Party that's represented by Aécio in these elections this year. Although Dilma Rousseff right now has about twice as much support in the polls as him, we never know what's going to happen until the elections 3 months from now.
And what, I guess beyond the presidential level, are there other state or municipal level elections or significant events coming up that are worth paying attention to? Because I guess, you know, you were saying earlier that one of the key issues is like trigger happy policing. Is that something that's addressed on a federal level, or is it something that municipalities would deal with? Like, I know that's, you know, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, that's a very good point because police, for example, is a responsibility of the state governments. So what we're seeing right now in Brazil, and as I was talking about São Paulo state has been governed by the PSDB party, which is a party of ISU, and it's been governed by PSDB for the past 24 years. And what we're seeing now, one of the demands that we're seeing is actually towards the federal government to intervene in the state of São Paulo, because São Paulo cannot control its police anymore, and the police in São Paulo is starting to become a political police, but the federal government does nothing about it. So yes, together with the presidential elections, we're going to have state government elections as well. But even though São Paulo is the center of unsatisfaction in the country, it's amazing to see that the current governor of São Paulo, who is also applying for re-election, is ahead in the polls with 44% of vote intentions for him. So he's probably going to get re-elected, even though the police has been acting like this. Even though here in São Paulo, we are 3 months from a complete shortage of water in the city, in the capital city of São Paulo, because of lack of investments in terms of water supply. We have also huge corruption scandals concerning infrastructure projects that have been that have suffered frauds and schemes that diverted up to $5 billion to private pockets of politicians and companies in the state of São Paulo. So there's a lot going on here, but mainly what the phenomenon that happens in the state of São Paulo is that all the insatisfaction goes towards the federal government, and the local state government stays in power no matter what.
Interesting. Interesting. It seems clever politically, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Final question. Any predictions for the World Cup on field action?
Oh, yeah. We're going to win. We're going to win easily all the remaining games.
Who will you beat in the finals?
We're all hoping for Brazil-Argentina.
That'll be fun. I'll root for that outcome.
Yeah.
Great. Well, Hugo, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. It's my pleasure. I hope I could share a bit of my views of what's going on here. And if you have any other questions or doubt, don't hesitate to reach me.